36 migrants from Latin America arrived in Sacramento, California in early June. It was not their chosen destination. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis sent them on chartered planes from El Paso, Texas, to make a point about immigration policy.
These sanctuary jurisdictions are part of the reason we have this problem, because they have endorsed and agitated for these types of open border policies.
The migrants all claimed to have political asylum, and they arrived in California confused and with nowhere to go. NPR religion correspondent Jason DeRose reports on the people who welcomed these strangers to their community.
Rabbi Mona Alfi was busy preparing for evening Shabbat services at Congregation B'nai Israel when her phone rang.
It's not the ideal time to call a rabbi on a Friday afternoon, but we have a situation and we could use your help.
The situation was that some Latin American migrants had been left outside an office building in downtown Sacramento.
Help looked like making sure that every person had a safe place to stay, making sure that they had food to eat and had clean clothing. These people had been put on a plane without anything, not even a change of clothing, a toothbrush, not even knowing where they were going.
In the following days, the story became clearer. Someone in El Paso, at the behest of the Florida governor, had recruited these 20 and 30-somethings with the promise of jobs and legal help to board a plane. But after dropping them off, that person disappeared. Alfi says the religious imperative was clear.
Our most important holiday is Passover. And from that holiday and over in the Bible, we're taught, because we were strangers in the land of Egypt, we have a special obligation to help the stranger. 36 different times in the Torah, we are commanded about loving the stranger, helping the stranger. There should be one law for the stranger and the homeborn.
Since the arrival of the 36 new Sacramento residents, a coalition of congregations, Jewish, Christian, and Muslim, have come together to help them settle in. There are costs to this work, time, energy, and money, things nobody planned for. On a recent Thursday afternoon, the migrants gathered at Parkside Community Church to pick up English language workbooks. Among them was 21-year-old Ofer from Venezuela. He describes a harrowing journey of more than 2 months walking, jumping on buses, hitching rides.
Venezuela, Colombia, Ecuador. Ecuador, Colombia, Panama.
Crossing border after border to reach the U.S.
Guatemala, Mexico, y aquí es los Estados Unidos.
Ofer asked that we only use his first name because he fears for his family's safety. He says he hopes to work to make money so he can help his mother survive the economic and political chaos of Venezuela. And one of the people determined to ease Ofer's way here is Gabby Trejo, who rallied some 30 congregations to help the migrants.
Whatever the intention was of why they were sent here to our community, the community has responded overwhelmingly with love and support.
Trejo is with the faith-based community organizing group Sacramento Area Congregations Together.
The work with the migrants has allowed us to create a vessel for people in the community who are tired of seeing the humanity in immigrants being stripped away, that desire a world where people are seen with dignity and respect.
This is exactly what Jesus would teach us to do.
Jocelyn Moore started attending Parkside Church in the third grade. Now, the mother of six, who works in education, is spending her summer helping the migrants learn English.
We're supposed to welcome refugees and strangers. I mean, it's all about hospitality and welcoming, and not maybe the whole narrative of building walls and keeping people out.
But this hospitality has its costs, costs borne largely by these congregations rather than the city or state governments. And Moore's pastor, Rajiv Rambab, says that kind of hospitality is central to ministry at Parkside Church.
Congregational life, communal life, gives you a vehicle to get good at this sort of thing. And it gives you a familiarity and trust with a team of people who are ready to spring into action when the need arises.
Rambab says offering beds and meals and clothing and quarters for laundry lies at the heart of Christianity.
We as people of faith just know our calling, one of the things we're mandated, is to love our neighbors.
At Trinity Episcopal Cathedral downtown, that love takes the form of donated shoes and clothing. Wearing a new-to-her pink and white striped shirt is 34-year-old Andrena from Venezuela. She also asks that we use only her first name because she still fears for her safety. Andreina says throughout her journey to the U.S., police demanded money to let her pass, money she didn't have. Stories like that, fleeing home without cash, arriving in a foreign land, spurred Trinity Cathedral member Shireen Miles to action.
Today, I took three young guys out to enroll in English as a second language classes. One of the other things I've been working on recently is rounding up bicycles.
So the migrants can get around town. But Miles is also thinking beyond the immediate needs of her three dozen new neighbors. She's exhausted by the human cost of polarization over immigration.
Why don't the governors of the red states sit down with the governors of the blue states and the federal administration and try to figure out a better solution for what is a big challenge for all of us? And instead of just dropping off groups of human beings in some place where they had no idea where they were going.
Miles has worshipped at Trinity Cathedral for nearly three decades. And recently, some new banners showed up in the sanctuary here. Matthew Woodward, dean of the cathedral, reads one of them aloud.
What does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God? And that's Micah 6:8.
The migrant's arrival reminds him of a story from the Gospel of Matthew.
Where Jesus says to the disciples, you fed me, you gave me water, you clothed me, you visited me in prison, you sheltered me. And then everyone around him, because he's talking in riddles, says, what are you talking about? When did we do that? We never did that. He said, when you did it to the least of these, you did it to me.
Which illustrates, Woodward says, the centrality of caring for migrants.
I think some of the politics dehumanizes people. And I can confidently say that the faith partners that I work with really, really want to invest people with dignity.
The undignified way these strangers arrived in Sacramento saddens Woodward. But he says, as a person of faith living in a polarized world, the gospel transforms compassion into courage.
And I will try not to be drawn on the politics, but if caring for your neighbor is a political act, then it's a political act, and it's still the right thing to do.
The cost of discipleship, says Woodward, when neighbors are in need. Jason DeRose, NPR News, Sacramento.